Well, I greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both the ones here and the ones that are online. I have some things I'd really like to talk over with you this evening. I'm going to read you a quotation to start with, and the focus of most of what we're going to say will be kind of in the direction of this. And if you want to follow along, it's going to be in the last chapter of Matthew. And I'm going to read the last few verses in the book. I'll start verse 16 and read to the end. And then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And I'd like to talk to you just a minute about that statement, because this is the Bible that we normally use. And that's what's in it. But some of the newer translations don't say it that way. And I want to kind of put a punch in for the Bible that we use. Because the fact that it says, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I don't know, the newer Bibles, several of them have changed that to all authority is given me. I don't know how many of you have ever been out, and most of you probably have, out in the workaday world. But you get out there in that world, and a lot of times you're given authority to do certain things, but they don't give you any money or any man-hours to cover this new thing. And so you can't do it. You just can't get it done. Because you don't have the power that it takes to do it. Jesus had the power. God gave him. His Father gave him all power in heaven and in earth. I don't know how deep any of you have gone into the history, and this is really hard to find in the history because it's been clouded over in most of the new printing. But the original apostles taught about Jesus that he was the God, the Father, and the creator of all the created universe. Now, the Book of Mormon backs that up pretty good, but the Bible doesn't say much about it other than saying different things as you go along. But it never comes straight out and does it. But what I want to get through to you now is that he had that power, and he used it to the best advantage that he could. But there were other things that had to be done as well as what we might think sometimes. But I want to point out that along with this, in the 13th and 14th and 15th chapter of 2 Nephi in the Book of Mormon, in the 13th chapter, it talks about baptism and what it is. And in that chapter, Nephi is actually hearing the voice of the Father and of the Son. And it ends up the chapter and says, you want to feast upon the words of Christ. And that's why I use this thing here. It says that, but he's given a commission to his ministry that they will teach all people to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Well, you couple with that the fact that the man saying this, and I use the word man because that just kind of fits in the way you say things, but Jesus Christ is saying this to his disciples, to his 12. And when he says this, he says to them, I want you to do it this way. And they already know when he's given this commandment by this time, they already know that he is the prophet that Moses talked about back there in Moses' day, and it tells about it in Deuteronomy. That there's going to be a special prophet that God's going to pick from their midst, and they better listen to him. Because if you don't listen to him, you're in trouble. Well, now they know who that prophet is. He is Jesus Christ. So, and another thing, it tells you in the last of the 13th chapter there that you want to feast upon the words of Christ. And that doesn't mean just read them. He wants you to read and understand and digest them and see their application and see not only what we have to do in our lives, but the promises that God has made that if we will do it, he will give us. This is important. And sometimes in the hardship of the workaday world or everyday life, you sometimes forget to look for those blessings that come along. And I'm not accusing you, because I seem to be hearing in the things that I hear on the live stream, excuse me, and things like that, that you all are very thankful for the blessings that God gives you, and you look at them and see them and appreciate them constantly. It makes it easy for you in feeling that way. It makes it easier for you when you go along and sometimes you don't feel just right, and there's a hard job you have to do, and it's wearing you out. And you look to God and you pray and ask him to give you strength, and he doesn't. This is one of the problems. He doesn't tell you he'll do it for you. But he has promised always to be there. That when we ask, the things that we ask for help to do his will, he's in there pitching. So I'd like you to carry this in your mind. And in the 14th chapter of 2 Nephi, it says also that not only should you feast upon the words of Christ, but he had talked to them about, after they were baptized, being able to speak with the tongue of angels. He tells them what that means. And he says, the angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost. Wherefore, they speak the words of Christ, bringing in this prophet, this special prophet again. And you need to carry that in mind, because the reason I'm saying that, well, and not only that, in the next chapter of 2 Nephi, Nephi is saying that he has charity for the Jews and for his brothers and sisters and all that. He's explaining that he does that. And he says, but he can't hope for any of these if they will not be reconciled to Christ. So that's where we're trying to find out who we are. Now, as an individual, but as a group, where do we belong? What is this that we're coming in here and sitting in this building? What is it? We're going to find out tonight, and I'm going to turn to, in the beginning, I'm skipping part of this, but I want to start about verse 152 on page 34 in the Book of Mormon. It's a special prophecy. It tells about things that are going to happen on this land. And that those things we need to look for. But the end of it, I want to start, I'll start reading now instead of going into more explanation because it's quite a bit. And this is the prophecy that comes from the vision that Lehi had, that Nephi wanted to have. He went and begged for it, and God gave it to him. And the point that I want to make to it in this, he sends an angel to do it to him. Well, it didn't call him an angel. It just said it was a messenger from God that came and talked to him, and he says, this is a gift that any man could have if they really want it and ask for it. And so God is showing, answering Nephi and giving him this and the interpretation of it. Well, I'll start out by here. 152, and it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld that the Gentiles which had gone forth out of captivity and humbled themselves before the Lord, and the power of the Lord was with them. Now beheld that their mother Gentiles were gathered together upon the waters and upon the land also to battle against them. Now beheld that the power of God was with them, and also that the wrath of God was upon all them that were gathered together against them to battle. And I, Nephi, beheld that the Gentiles which had gone out of captivity were delivered by the power of God out of the hands of all other nations. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld that they did prosper in the land. And I beheld a book, and it was carried forth among them. And the angel saith unto me, knowest thou the meaning of the book? And I said, no, I know not. And he saith, behold, it proceeded out of the mouth of a Jew, and I, Nephi, beheld it. And he saith unto me, the book which thou beholdest is the record of the Jews, which contains the covenants of the Lord, which he hath made unto the house of Israel. And it also containeth many of the prophecies of the holy prophets. And it is a record like unto the engravings which are upon the plates of brass, save there are not so many. Nevertheless, they contain the covenants of the Lord, which he hath made unto the house of Israel. Wherefore they are of great worth unto the Gentiles. And the angel of the Lord said unto me, thou hast beheld that the book proceeded forth from the mouth of a Jew, and when it proceeded forth from the mouth of a Jew, it contained the fullness of the gospel of the Lord, of whom the 12 apostles bear record, and they bear record according to the truth, which is in the Lamb of God. Wherefore these things go forth from Jews in purity unto the Gentiles according to the truth which is in God. And after that they go forth by the hand of the 12 apostles of the Lamb from Jews unto the Gentiles, behold, after this thou seest the formation of that great and abominable church, which is the most abominable above all other churches. For behold, they have gone away from the gospel of the Lamb, many parts which are taken away. I'm sorry. For they've taken away from the gospel of the Lamb many parts which are plain and most precious, and also many covenants of the Lord have they taken away. And all this have they done that they might pervert the right ways of the Lord, that they might blind the eyes and harden the hearts of the children of men. I'm going to stop there and say this. I don't know lately whether any of you have had much contact with some of the seminaries that are putting out their ministry that goes into a lot of these churches. Did you know that they're telling you that the Bible's not true at all? And that's what they're talking about. The Bible is not true. It's a bunch of stories that's made up to be poetic and to put forth some ideas that they thought needed to be put forth, and that's what it is. And that's one of the reasons I'm reading this to you. That is not true. It's a lie. But this is the thing that's being done. And it came to pass that the angel of the Lord spake unto me, saying, Behold, saith the Lamb of God, after that I have visited the remnant of the house of Israel, and this remnant of which I speak is the seed of thy father. Wherefore, after that I have visited them in judgment, and smitten them by the hand of the Gentiles, and after the Gentiles do stumble exceedingly because of the most plain and most precious parts of the gospel of the Lamb, which have been kept back by that abominable church, which is the mother of harlots, which the Lamb, saith the Lamb, wherefore I will be merciful unto the Gentiles in that day, saith the Lamb, insomuch that I will bring forth unto them in mine own power much of my gospel, which shall be plain and precious, saith the Lamb. For behold, saith the Lamb, I will manifest myself unto thy seed, that they may write many things which I shall minister unto them, which shall be plain and precious. And after that thy seed shall be destroyed and dwindled in unbelief, and also the seed of thy brethren, behold, these things shall be hid up to come forth unto the Gentiles by the gift and power of the Lamb. And in them shall be written my gospel, saith the Lamb, and my rock and my salvation. And blessed are they which shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day, for they shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost. And if they endure to the end, they shall be lifted up at the last day, and shall be saved in the everlasting kingdom of the Lamb. Yea, whoso shall publish peace, and shall publish tidings of great joy, how beautiful upon the mountain shall they be. And it came to pass that I beheld the remnant of the seed of my brethren, and also the book of the Lamb of God, which had proceeded forth in the mouth of a Jew, and I beheld that it came forth from the Gentiles unto the remnant of the seed of my brethren. And after it had come forth unto them, I beheld other books that came forth by the power of the Lamb from the Gentiles unto them, unto the convincing of the Gentiles and the remnant of the seed of my brethren, and also to the Jews, which were scattered upon all the face of the earth, that the record of the prophets and of the 12 apostles of the Lamb are true. And the angel spake unto me, saying, These last records which thou hast seen among the Gentiles shall establish the truth of the first, which are the 12 apostles of the Lamb, and shall make known the plain and precious things which have been taken away from them. And I'd like to point out right now, it speaks about books coming forth. Did you know in this precious book that we call the Book of Mormon, there's a condensed form of four records in here. Four records. One is the small plates of Nephi. The large plates, which kept a record of his people, a complete record. And the plates of brass got involved in it. And it's quoted in our book here. And there's one more. And it's referred to as the 24 gold plates. And we find it all recorded in those people in the Book of Ether. But those are in this book. And so they are a fulfillment of what this is saying. I have to try to find out for sure where I was. And the angel spake unto me, saying, these last records which I have seen among the Gentiles shall establish the truth of the first. And that is one of the jobs of the Book of Mormon. It takes the things that happened to these people here and Lehi and his whole family and shows us that the record of the Jews, and it's stated different in the Jews. Most of the thing that really puts the B on the Jew is said in prophecy. They didn't record the everyday happenings near like they did in the Book of Mormon. It's not as plain. And the reason is, I'd have to go do some looking to find this quotation. It just comes to mind that Jesus said that he had to go to Jerusalem and he was going to be crucified by the leaders. And that's what happened. John Q, as he walked along the street, they were the ones in those thousands that he preached to in the wilderness, and we gave bread when there wasn't enough bread. They were the ones that would listen. And that's the thing that we are finding out a lot of times when we go across to these other countries. That the ones who we call poor are the ones that are willing to listen. Because in the midst of having to really struggle with their life, they realize that there is a God that has created them. And they want to hear about him. They want to see what he says. And when they do, that's like the usually, I wouldn't say it always would be like this, but usually I think it will be. That if you convert one of our Lamanite brothers, if you really convert him, man, he's in there and he's standing steady. And that's what we find there down in Mexico in that area of Yucatan. They are steady people. And they want to hear about God. They want to feel his presence. We do that too. Do you ever stop to think how when you are able to be somewhere and you feel the Lord's Spirit, boy, it's something you remember for a long time. So we keep that in mind. That this book, it's one of its jobs is to bear witness that the record of the Jew is true. And it shall be made known under all kindred tongues and people that the Lamb of God is the Son of the Eternal Father and the Savior of the world, and that all men must come unto him, or they cannot be saved. And they must come according to the words which shall be established by the mouth of the Lamb. And the words of the Lamb shall be made known in the records of thy seed, as well as in the records of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Wherefore they both shall be established in one, for there is one God and one shepherd over all the earth. And the time cometh that he shall manifest himself unto all nations, both unto the Jews and also unto the Gentiles. And after they hath manifested himself unto the Jews and also unto the Gentiles, then he shall manifest himself unto the Gentiles and also unto the Jews. And the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. And it shall come to pass that if the Gentiles shall hearken unto the Lamb of God in that day, that he shall manifest himself unto them in word and also in power, in very deed, unto the taking away of their stumbling blocks, if it so be that they harden not their hearts against the Lamb of God. And if it so be that they harden not their hearts against the Lamb of God, they shall be numbered among the seed of thy father. Yea, they shall be numbered among the house of Israel, and they shall be a blessed people upon the promised land forever. They shall be no more brought down into captivity, the house of Israel shall no more be confounded. And that great pit which has been digged for them by the great and abominable church, which was founded by the devil and his children, that he might lead away the souls of men down to hell. Yea, that great pit which hath been digged for the destruction of men shall be filled by those who digged it unto their utter destruction, saith the Lamb of God. Not to the destruction of the soul, save it be the casting it into that hell which hath no end. For behold, this is according to the captivity of the devil, and also according to the justice of God, upon all those who will work wickedness and abomination before him. And it came to pass that the angel spake unto me, Nephi, saying, Thou hast beheld that if, that if the Gentiles repent, it shall be well with them. And thou also knowest concerning the covenants of the Lord unto the house of Israel. And thou also hast heard that whoso repenteth not must perish. Therefore, woe be unto the Gentiles, if it so be that they harden their hearts against the Lamb of God. For the time cometh, saith the Lamb of God, that I will work a great and marvelous work among the children of men, a work which shall be everlasting, either on the one hand or on the other, either to the convincing them unto peace and life eternal, or unto the deliverance of them to that hardness of their hearts and blindness of their minds unto their being brought down into captivity, and also unto destruction, both temporally and spiritually, according to the captivity of the devil of which I have spoken. And it came to pass, when the angel had spoken these words, he said unto me, Remember thou the covenants of the Father unto the house of Israel? I saith unto him, Yea. And it came to pass that he spake unto me, Look, he saith unto me, rather, Look, and behold that great and abominable church, which is the mother of abominations, whose founder is the devil. And he saith unto me, Behold, they are, save it be, two churches. The one is the church of the Lamb of God, and the other is the church of the devil. Wherefore, whoso belongeth not, notice this too. There's going to come a day that if you don't belong to Christ's church, because that's us, the church of the Lamb, that if you don't belong to his church, you will be a member of the church. I'll read this again. Wherefore, whoso belongeth not to the church of the Lamb of God belongeth to that great church, which is the mother of abominations, and she is the whore of all the earth. And it came to pass that I looked and beheld the whore of all the earth, and she sat upon many waters, and she had dominion over all the earth among all nations, kindred, tongues, and people. It came to pass that I beheld the church of the Lamb of God, and its numbers were few because of the wickedness an abomination of the whore which sat upon many waters. Nevertheless, I beheld that the church of the Lamb, which were the saints of God, were also upon all the face of the earth. And their dominions upon the face of the earth were small because of the wickedness of the great whore which I saw. And it came to pass that I beheld that the great mother of abomination did gather together in multitudes upon the face of all the earth, among all the nations of the Gentiles, to fight against the Lamb of God. See, it's going to divide itself up just that way, good and evil. And we have to recognize that. And we get so occupied with the details of our politics and all that kind of thing, and forget the basic thing we have to be noting in all of our thinking. We have to follow Christ. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld the power of the Lamb of God that had descended upon the saints of the church of the Lamb and upon the covenant people of the Lord, which were scattered upon all the face of the earth. And I notice here, this very next verse, and I want to help you understand what kind of a promise it is to us. Now, I realize it's going to be a lot of work, but it says, and they were armed with righteousness and with the power of God in great glory. That's not an imaginary thing. That's not something we just talk about. We're going to be feeling that. And it came to pass that I beheld the wrath of God that poured out upon the great and abominable church, insomuch that there were wars and rumors of wars among all the nations and kindreds of the earth. And as there began to be wars and rumors of wars among all the nations which belonged to the mother of abominations, the angel spake unto me, saying, now I guess I'll stop there again and go back to this point that I was making. That's going to be something we're going to be feeling. I want to encourage you to know that God has promised that if we are keeping his commandments, he is going to be there. He is going to help us to maintain our stability, our love for each other and for him. That's what he's going to do. And I don't know, I keep thinking maybe that even this pandemic is a part of this story that I'm telling. But we have to realize he is our strength. And when we're feeling a little bit weak, don't be afraid to get down on your knees and ask God to help you out, to be stronger, to think straight. Because that's what Paul was saying to Timothy, that they had not been given the spirit of fear, but of love, a sound mind. What was the other one?
Power.
You're right. Power. Thank you, Randy. Power, love, and a sound mind. Behold, the wrath of God is upon the mother of harlots. And behold, thou seest all these things. And when the day cometh that the wrath of God is poured out upon the mother of harlots, which is the great and abominable church of all the earth, whose founder is the devil, then at that day the work of the Father shall commence in preparing the way for the fulfilling of his covenants, which he hath made unto his people, which are of the house of Israel. And it came to pass that the angel spake unto me, saying, look, and I looked, and beheld a man, and he was dressed in a white robe. And the angel said unto me, behold, one of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Behold, he shall see and write the remainder of these things. Yea, and also many things which have been. He shall also write concerning the end of the world. Wherefore, the things which he shall write are just and true. And behold, they are written in the book which thou beheld proceeding out of the mouth of the Jew. And here is a notable point, too. Now, how could be changed so immensely, I'm not really sure. God hadn't told me all that. But this is what he says. And at the time that they proceeded out of the mouth of the Jew, and he's talking about John's writings, or at the time the book proceeded out of the mouth of the Jew, the things which were written were plain and pure and most precious and easy to understand of all men. But they've been shuffled around, and so it's really hard for people to understand it. Our comprehension, but I'm going to point out to you, when it's necessary that we need to know, he will tell us. Don't ever think God will leave us in the lurch. When we are keeping his commandments, he will never desert us. He will never desert us anyway. We just have to realize that if we, he doesn't do the deserting, we desert him, and that gets us in trouble. And behold, the things which this apostle of the Lamb shall write are many things which thou hast seen, and behold, the remainder shalt thou see, but the things which thou shalt see hereafter thou shalt not write, for the Lord God hath ordained the apostle of the Lamb that he should write them. And also others which have been, To them hath he shown all things, and they have written them. And they are sealed up to come forth in their purity, according to the truth which is in the Lamb, in the own due time of the Lord unto the house of Israel. And I, Nephi, heard and bear record that the name of the apostle of the Lamb was John, according to the word of the angel. And behold, I, Nephi, am forbidden that I should write the remainder of the things which I saw and heard. Wherefore, the things which I have written sufficeth me. I have not written but a small part of the things which I saw. And I bear record that I saw the things which my father saw, and the angel of the Lord did make them known unto me. And now I make an end of speaking of concerning the things which I saw while I was carried away in the spirit. And if all things which I saw are not written, the things which I have written are true. And thus it is, amen. But I wanted to kind of get through these things and hear, because to me, when I read through this again and ran into this, it kind of took a burden off of me. Maybe it shouldn't have, but it did. Because it shows you here in this writing to me, and it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld the power of the Lamb of God that had descended upon the saints of the church of the Lamb and upon the covenant people of the Lord, which are scattered upon all the face of the earth. That's us, brothers and sisters. That doesn't make us important. Well, the best thing it is in a way, but we have to remember that Jesus is our leader. And they were armed with righteousness. They didn't go forth to the big army. The Prince of Peace fulfilled his stature. We were armed with righteousness, and God could bless us and help us get the things done we needed to. I guess what this strikes home to me is 70 some years ago, I joined the Army. And before I left, my dad said, Marvin, come with me. I want to take you out in the car, and I want to talk to you a little while. And as we talked for a while, he said, one of the things I want to impress you with, and I want you to expect it, he says, when you get out there and you get in a lonely place and you're really threatened and feeling bad, expect God to touch your heart and help you know that the things you've read and believe are true. Did you know that happened to me? It was like almost I was kind of even removed from the area because of it. It was just such a relief. Because immediately I felt like I was being taken care of. So these are things that I want to impress you people with if I can. That if you get to a place where you're feeling down and you need help, you can call one of us, yes, you can do that. But you want to expect God to put his hand in and help you out, because he will. I hope that the Holy Spirit rests on each one of you with this reassurance. Yes, I heard Randy's sermon this morning too, and he was talking about a lot of things, and that people say that's not true, but I'm telling you, he says that it is. And that's kind of what I'm doing there tonight. There's a lot of people that are saying that our country is just about overcome. Well, I want to tell you this. I've read this to you to help you see that God has a plan. And in his plan, if I'm reading his word properly, and I think I am, every person that has the desire to live righteously, to live according to the commandments of that Son of God, every person, he will guide, he will help, and he will bless. One of our ministry, I don't know whether the rest of you have had this come to you or not, but, and this is the same thing. Well, I'll just say a different story. I don't know how old most of you were when we heard the tornado that went through Ruskin Heights and tore it all up that time. With that tornado, when it started up, it started out in Stillwell, Kansas. And it came across and it tore up Ruskin Heights and a bunch of the houses, hundreds of them. And it came through and it was all, my brother was standing out in the back watching the thing. And he saw this, saw it coming toward him, only it didn't seem to move. It just right there. And it suddenly dawned on him, well, if that's what it is, it's still moving. That means you're coming right for me. And then, with just a little bit, it turned and went up another road and missed his house by about half a mile. But brothers and sisters, this is an example. And I remember when we had choir practice up, well, the old building, but, and that night, we were having choir practice and they asked me to offer the prayer. And I asked God to protect his people. Because by then we knew this was a real dangerous thing. And it wasn't traveling really fast, but it was tearing things up when it went. And I asked him that all of our people would be protected. Well, it came past and it went north of where I live out there now and went over through Levesey or that area over there. Did you know that when they went across the Missouri River, it was still on the ground. So God guided that thing and protected us. How can I impress you how valuable an assurance that is for us? That if you do what he asks and you pray and ask him to take care of you, he has a special way of doing it. I hope I can leave that in your hearts with you tonight. That you will be blessed and these things that are coming, no matter how bad they get. He says that his people, that church of the Lamb, us, that's us. Yeah, I'm not saying we're good enough. That's not what I'm trying to say, because I know all of us are struggling and we'll be trying to be better people all along. And that's what we're supposed to do. But always remember that when the chips are down and you need him, he's always there. Thank you very much.